don't know who you are, sweetheart.
ESPN 97.5 KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
We're not talking about locker room talk, but when the Tiger pulls out, doesn't say much for the Cubbies. No, I'm just kidding. The Cubbies are still in it. Tiger's not. Tiger's supposed to make this big, heralded, triumphant return to the PGA Tour this week. If you just missed it, you're just joining us. Well, you missed a lot of Texans talking a little U of H, but we'll recap that and more. But we need to get some other stories of the day first. I'm Joel Blank. He's Travis Johnson. Behind the glass is Nick Sharara. We are catching you up on some other things as well as what everybody wants to talk about, which is obviously your Houston Texans. That is, Tiger Woods now has said his return is on hold. He's pulled out of the next two events he was scheduled to play, including the Safeway tournament in Napa, California. He was supposed to be paired with Phil Mickelson in round one, but he said, after a lot of soul searching and honest reflection, I know that I am not yet ready to play on the PGA Tour and compete. Okay? My health is good. I feel strong. My game vulnerable. Not where it needs to be. So, in other words,
his game ain't where it needs to be since he got caught with them 40 women.
In other words, normally when you have a fire hydrant involved, bad things happen.
Well, I don't know. I mean, dogs always seem like they have a good time with fire hydrants, so why couldn't he have a good time with a fire hydrant?
So, basically, you're saying he's a dog.
Well,
you are.
He's a dog on the golf course, and he was a dog in the streets.
No. You're talking about his private life.
Yeah, but he was a dog in the streets, of course. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Man, end of the day, Tiger played his best golf when he had those 40 women on his team. And in my opinion...
Is this locker room talk?
Yeah, now this is locker room talk.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Now, in my opinion, man, for one, Tiger showed that chink in armor when he decided when he decided that he wanted to apologize to everybody and their mama. I'm so sorry because...
It was all
scripted. Dude, don't apologize to nobody but your wife, bro. That's when he showed weakness. At that time, Tiger was a real live Tiger to people and scared people on the golf course. And when you showed that you was weak like that, I wouldn't apologize to nobody. Ain't nothing wrong with liking to get out there and chase some tail.
Yeah, well, okay, that's neither here nor there. But at the end of the day, the results speak for themselves. Once you hit the hydrant, you pretty much didn't hit it the same way ever again on the golf course.
Oh, no, I think she probably came with that four iron across the left side of his dome as well. But
yeah, I don't think it just hit the back window of the car.
Oh, no. I mean, but that's, listen, for one, anybody's wife would do that. Mine's might have pulled out the pistol. But at the end of the day, you should never marry the help. When you married the help, you subjected yourself to getting... I mean, she felt like you bought her up out of there. You know what I mean? So, In my opinion...
Now, what you mean by that is she was Tiger's nanny.
Yeah, or another guy on tour's nanny.
Brought by Jasper Parnevik.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
And...
I'm sorry, she was Jasper Parnevik's nanny.
And then...
That's how she met Tiger.
Like, dude, come on, man. You can't do that. Like,
he finished it off by saying, when I announced last week I was going to the Safeway, I had every intention of playing or I wouldn't have committed. Spent a week with the U.S. Ryder Cup team as vice captain, an honor and experience that inspired me even more to play. I practiced the last several days in California. After a lot of hours, I knew I wasn't ready to compete against the best golfers in the world. And as Nota Begay, his longtime friend and teammate at Stanford, said, it's not at all health-related at this point. It's just not there, man.
Ain't that the same dude that was co-signing for him at the press conference? Like, this is not the Tiger I know. Dude, man, put some bass in your voice, man.
Nota got a second career out of being there for Tiger because he's now on the Golf Channel. He's now an announcer. He's now had a second career because he stayed loyal to his boy.
Man, he wasn't loyal to his boy. If he was loyal to his boy, he'd have told him, don't get out there looking like a sucker. Don't get out there over apologizing to all these people for what? You don't owe them people nothing. Only people he had to talk
but
to was your
you
wife.
Think, didn't you think my man was destined to break Jack Nicklaus's
He was. Yeah. But guess what? He was because he had a lockdown mind. He had people literally. He was Serena Williams on the golf course.
He was
Michael Jordan. His focus was at an all time high, and he let people take him out of the focus because he let people believe they owned a part of Tiger. You don't own Tiger.
Here's how I can break it down the best for you. he had that level of invincibility that brought with it a scare tactic that he didn't even have to build up.
Man, no, man.
Everyone that played in that tournament that week looked at him and said, I hope he doesn't play as well as he can, and they were scared of him. The minute that he hit that fire hydrant, he showed vulnerability.
Yeah.
That vulnerability not only showed to the opponents, but he started questioning him himself. Yeah,
That's why he's never been the same. And to me, that's on him because he allowed, and that's on him. That's on the people he keep around him. So the same guy, whatever his name is, Gio, whatever that guy's name, that's not a real friend, dude. That man, I don't care what he is.
Noda
Gie, whatever his name is. I don't care about this dude because end of the day
you're gonna have a field day with this. But his name is Noda Bigay.
Noda might be gay.
Noda Bigay.
But guess what? At the end of the day, if I'm a real friend, if you come to me and say I'm gonna use you for example, and Miss Hernandez, I apologize. And
you Mrs. Blank now, by the way.
Mrs. Blank,
ahead.
Yeah, but yeah. Still, you know, on TV, yeah. She's Lisa Hernandez.
At home, she's not.
Yeah, at home, she's not. Right. Of course, but Miss Blank and I apologize. But if you come to me and say, man, Trap, man, Lisa called me with 40 women. I had to call him up and put them aside. And he's like, man, I think I need to make a public apology. I'm like, you don't need to make a public apology. Nobody. You better, man, listen. You take care of the household. You talk to your wife. And don't owe them people anything. Because guess what? As soon as he made that apology, the vultures, they were circling above him. They had dead fish on the line.
It's interesting you say that. Because what it comes down to is because of how prevalent social media has become in everyday society, including sports, it's not just the fans who feel like the athletes owe them something. The athletes then start feeling like they owe the fans. So the fact of the matter is that Woods basically feels bad because he let the fans down for not being able to play after he said he could. Well, then don't say that you were going to play and you don't. But if it's just not there,
yeah.
You don't owe anyone an explanation until it is.
Man,
or until you retire.
I wouldn't. Tiger, man. Tiger need to go back to that old school Tiger. Be you. Be you. Don't worry about what people think about you. Don't worry about. See, the problem is, Tiger forgot. He still one of us. That's what Tiger forgot. Tiger got that OJ symptom. He think he on the other side. Come on back home. You still a brother. End of the day. And we going to bring you on back. We going to make you feel good. But end of the day, he thought he was greater than who he was. And all you had to do was remember, this is what it is. And I see
but
you
at
looking
the end at of the
it.
Day, at the end of the day, he is who we thought he was.
He is. He's a sucker.
But he can't get back there.
Because he's a sucker. In other words,
at the end of the day, people, don't be a sucker. All right?
Treatment for sex addiction. I'm addicted to sex.
I don't think anyone needed that. And right now, I just threw up in the back of my mouth a little bit. I just want to let you know that. That's just me being honest with you because we keep it real here. But you also probably kept it a little too real there. But I'm not mad at you. Because at the end of the day, people driving down the road who are feeling exactly how you felt and feel like they could win a major now because they are not alone.
Because they're not alone.
Exactly. And since we bring it full circle, Michael Jackson, they are not alone. And so they feel like they are part of this entire creation this production that we've created that is just making life better every day in Houston, Texas, and for everywhere that you bring the app. So might as well download the app, head to the website, ESPN975.com, listen live there if you can't get us any other way. Take us with you. I said, you're a hell of a tough guy to fit into a suitcase, but we'll go wherever you go as long as you take us with you, and it's at no charge to us because we like traveling free. Safe, right?
Very safe.
There you go. So we covered Tiger Woods. We also touched on a little baseball. We touched on the series last night that ended, and at least for Astros fans and Houston fans of sports, even if you have none of your teams winning, you were able to at least hold some solace in the fact that the Rangers are no longer in the playoffs. So with that being said, in a game just underway in Chavez Ravine, in a place that Trav knows well, the Nationals are visiting the Dodgers with the series tied at 1. We'll cover a little bit more baseball. We'll cover what you want to talk to and talk about. And by the way, we've got someone that wants to talk about our last topic as Tiger is on the board. So, DJ, hold on. We'll get to you in a minute. This is ESPN 97.5 FM. In the Reeboks with the
Strats. ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Sometimes we like to reach out and touch somebody's hand, somebody's phone, somebody's ears. We do it in a non-locker room setting in a non-offensive way, and we do it for your benefit. So Travis Johnson's with me. We're here till 4. We've been covering a lot of ground. We got our track shoes on. We had some spikes on for some cleats. Well, we will put the baseball cleats on if you'd like, because there's baseball going on right now. They're in the first inning with the Nationals and Dodgers at Chavez Ravine, with the series tied at 1. Trav, a longtime Dodger fan.
Say that again, Chavez Ravine.
Chavez Ravine.
We call it Chavez Ravine.
Well, that's because, again, we're not going to get into all that. That was last segment. But at the end of the day, your Dodger hat is on. We know where your true colors are. So we know that that series is still going on. We know that the Blue Jays did what everybody wanted them to do and put away the Texas Rangers. So that series is in the books. The Cubs have a 2-0 lead at the Giants tonight at 8:30, and the Indians with a 2-0 lead at Fenway, and the Monster taking on the Red Sox at 5 o'clock. So three games on the docket. Trav, I was on record as stating that I had predicted a Red Sox-Cubs World Series. Half of that looks good. We never got your picks. Barry had made his. But just to kind of bring it full circle on the baseball real quick, because we're both baseball fans, your breakdown of what you see, what you saw, and what you're predicting.
Well, I mean, I thought the Cubbies were going to get there. They're the best team in baseball. I liked them before the season started.
Okay, Vegas, Dave. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I didn't pick them. I'm not going to sit there and gas you up and say, oh, this is who I picked. You know, I know who I was rooting for to be able to get there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you look at Cleveland-Boston game and you look at what they've done as far as at-bat, you know, they struck out 22 times over the last two games.
Red Sox.
The Boston Red Sox have against Cleveland. You question of what are they doing at bat. This is a team that has one of the greatest slugging on base percentage and OPSs that are out there during the season. And then you see they're losing at 0-2 counts. They're not two strike hitting like they normally do. They're chasing a lot of stuff down and away in the game.
Discipline. They lost their discipline at the plate. And when you got guys like Betts and Bogarts who are so essential to getting guys on base so that guys like Ortiz can drive them in and Ramirez and guys like that, they're struggling at the plate. I think you hit it on the head. I think they're really lacking discipline at the plate. Now is it too far gone to bring it back? Because they are at home for the next two. They do play well there. They know how to play it off the Monster. But my big thing at the end of the day is it's been their weakness all year.
Yeah.
They're pitching.
Yeah, I mean, their pitching is quite suspect. I think their pitching was suspect, but now at the end of the day, bats are still going to score runs. And if you've only scored, two runs in the postseason against the bullpen, you know, if you can't get those runs scored on offense, it doesn't matter how good or how bad your pitching is, you're still going to be behind the eight ball. And that's where, and then I transfer that over to the Giants Cubs game. You know, it's the same issue where, you know, you expected the bats of the Giants to do well, but you know they haven't scored any runs against the bullpen all year long against the Cubs.
And as the next pitcher, though, you have to tip your hat to the pitchers as well.
Oh, no question, you have to. What was your pitches?
I mean, I threw fastball, curveball, slider, but I was a control pitcher. I mean, I prided myself on painting corners and things like that. But I mean, when you look at what Kluber did for the Indians, you look at the move that really worked out well for Francona when he went to Andrew Miller, and Miller just absolutely mowed him down.
And
that was a move that could have backfired to make you look like Buck Showalter if it didn't work, but it did.
It could have.
Okay? And on the other side of the coin, Porcello is supposed to be your Cy Young candidate, and he gets lit up.
Yeah.
Then David Price continues to be the David Price of postseasons when he just can't get a win.
Yeah.
He just does not get it done. He's pitched some great games and taken losses. He did not pitch a great game in game two.
No.
In a short series, that's enough to say you're through. You're done. You just can't do it. You got to be careful. That's why I say in five-game opening round divisional series, everything's magnified.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful. And you also ride the hot team. I've said this, we've talked about it in other sports. In football, we talk about how many teams have won it because they enter the playoffs as the hot team. The Blue Jays right now look like the hot team.
They look like the hot team. Them and then, let's not, Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Cleveland's looking like they smoking hot right now.
But I'll put the Blue Jay bats up against the Indians.
Oh, no question. I mean, listen, the Blue Jays have they've hit 10 home runs in their series, which is all the other AL teams combined.
Yep. Well, the heart of their order is just on fire.
No question.
Tulowitzki and Bautista and Encarnacion.
Yes.
And your man, the third baseman with the big hit again last night. They constantly keep putting the meat of the lineup in a position to do well, and they're excelling. So I guess right now it looks like Blue Jays Cubs leaders in the clubhouse.
That's what it's looking.
So that's baseball for you in a nutshell. So if you want to talk about that, please call in. But our last segment was dedicated to one Tiger Woods and the fall from graces of one of the greatest of all time. DJ Highway 90 wants to get in on the Tiger Woods talk. DJ, welcome to the show.
Yes, how you doing? Hey, I just want to touch on something. It's kind of contradicting because I kind of disagree with what my man has said about Tiger. Yes, in a sense, he should apologize to his wife, but I think in private to make him a man, he didn't have to go public. But also, here's the contradicting part. I read a thing the other day. A man was talking about apologizing and accepting, and he said to apologize and to accept or to tolerate is a sign of coward. And if you're a coward, you're weak. That means you just tolerate it. That you're tolerating and accepting anything. So it's kind of contradicting. But my point is that I feel as though apology to the wife and to others in private, not so much in public, would have been appropriate. And that's just my take on it. And I'll listen to you guys and let you go on from there. Thanks, man.
And DJ, we appreciate you calling. And that's exactly what I said. I mean, I felt like, I mean, I've always thought, at some point as a man, at some point in life, you're going to have to apologize. But I know me, I've always felt like apologies are a sign of weakness. I could be dead wrong about something, dead wrong, and still won't apologize just because that's who I am.
God, you just qualified for running for president.
Yeah, no question. You know,
if you ain't going to apologize, you can run for the highest office in the land.
No question. If I had the money to run for president like that, I swear I would go do it.
You got the private sector wrapped around your little finger.
You know,
I
can raise some funds. I mean, I think I'd have been a better candidate than the both of them, to say the truth.
I think right now a candidate could come in off the street and take out both of them being himself herself.
I wonder how many votes Mickey Mouse will get this year. Because every election, everybody gets Mickey Mouse votes.
I tell you,
Mickey
Mouse is the Green Party at this point. Yeah. Oh, boy, when they asked him some questions and he did the whole, and the lady was like, "What in your?" He goes, "I'm tongue-tied." My man right there, if he could have just played it straight and just acted like a smart and straight-thinking human being, he may have shocked the world.
Yeah, I mean, he could have stole some votes. I mean, I can't remember the name. Who was it that ran in 2004 for the Independent Party that ended up?
Gary Anderson ran independent, what's his name? The little guy from Dallas.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Who stole the votes, and then Bush ended up winning.
It's killing me. Someone Florida, on Twitter is going to help us. Yes.
The reason why Bush ended up winning in 2004 because he won Florida by 256 votes.
Depending on who was counting.
Yeah, depending on who was counting.
With
no
the
question.
Hanging Chads.
Yeah.
Hanging Chads, more locker room talk. What is that guy's name?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
It's not Warren, is it?
Don't let me lie. Concussions, man. I don't remember 2004 that well. That's why, but
just
I remember
guy,
the time.
Just a little guy trying to get here, trying to win a final election. I'm just here to run an election, try to win a game. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I can't think of his name, but I can tell you the impersonation I can do.
Exactly.
Okay, we know what we're talking about. All right, so we're here till 4 o'clock. We've covered Tiger. We've covered baseball. We've covered the Texans, covered U of H. We can recap anything, everything, if you'd like. Otherwise, if you want something else you want to talk about, please come out and give us a shout. 713-780-ESPN or hit us on Twitter here till 4. ESPN 97.5 FM.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob, and I approve this message.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
We got so many different things going on in this studio that all I can tell you is that we're having fun. I think that you guys are too. I think and then I thank Nick for making sure that he doesn't bring up your mic too quickly, because you got so much going on and so many cobwebs up in that dome piece of yours in the attic that we literally could be gone before we get started on this show. The SEC could be already hammering us. So, we got all that going for us. Now, I realized that this was going to, you guys were going to come out of the woodwork, so let's just clarify, all right? I know who I was trying to think of, which was Ross Perot, who I did the impersonation of, right? Could have been Ralph Nader, because the problem is that when we get the wrong information from the guy asking the question and we don't get the list of categories to be able to differentiate and break down who it is you're trying to think of, we can give you a lot of answers that are correct but not, because you don't even know the actual characteristics we're talking about. So it could have been Ralph Nader, could have been Ross Perot. In 1980, I was right, John Anderson ran as an independent as well. But regardless, that's why we're not politicians, we're sports guys. It still comes down to you, and at the end of the day, if you bring the wrong information to the table, don't complain about what you're eating.
But see, here's the thing. When I was
thinking, because the Rocky Mountain oysters you got in your mouth right now are all compliments of what you brought to the table.
But when I was thinking about it, I think I was thinking either Nader or Badnarik. But I also remember John Edwards was also another guy who got a lot of votes in that same election. So that's why,
John Edwards is dirty too.
Yeah, he is. But those are some of the guys who I'm thinking about.
And John Edwards apologized to his wife, I think.
Yeah, he did. He was supposed to apologize to his wife.
Right. Plus, I'm following you.
Okay? And he was married to one of the Hines, wasn't he?
Not against you.
He's married to Hines, wasn't he? The Hines 57 family.
All you know is that it makes some of your food a whole lot better. So those Rocky Mountain oysters you got in your mouth with little Hines, go down a little easier and a little smoother.
They sure do.
And with all that being said, it's time to move on. We will go to who has been holding the longest. Tom from Beaumont. You want to talk about Rod Marinelli's defense?
Yeah. Hey guys. Is the speaker phone bad? I'm sorry the phone was messing up, so I had to put it on speaker. No, I had a question. I just had a question for Travis real quick.
What's up, brother?
About what as a former player, what he sees yesterday, Dallas defense played pretty well. I thought, considering the personnel they've got, they played pretty good all year, considering what they got. And what he sees they're doing, I know they say cover two, but off of that, if he could elaborate, then I'm going to hang up and listen.
Well, I mean, Rob Marinelli is an old school Tampa 2 type of coach, but he does play a lot of man defense. But his biggest thing is Rob Marinelli is one of the greatest defensive line minds in the world. When I tell you, when I'm talking about what he teaches those guys and the way he trains guys, that's what makes him great. Is he always gets that front four ready to play before he even gets the back end. So yeah, they do a lot of cover two stuff, but they're playing good football all the way around over there, even with the lack of pass rush right now, but they're playing pretty decent.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, though, it's going to be a big test this week. It's going to be real interesting, because I like to see the two defenses that don't get talked about. Green Bay is hosting Dallas this week.
Yes.
It's going to be real interesting to see how Dallas's defense reacts to a top-shelf offense that's still not clicking on all cylinders but looked better last night. Yeah. And then from a Green Bay standpoint, you saw the numbers if you saw any of the game last night about how good they are against the run, but they haven't faced an offensive line like the Cowboys, and they haven't faced a tailback yet. I know Adrian Peterson was supposed to be, he's always looked at as one of those guys, but he's still not what he used to be. When you look at Ezekiel Elliott, you know what is the coming of the running back position in the NFL. So it's going to be a really interesting game this week. I don't get into the whole talking mess, and I know there's a ton of Cowboys fans out there. So all I can tell you is it's going to be both defenses are going to have put up or shut up time, to where the defense that plays well is going to be anointed to continue on. The defense who doesn't play well is going to be exposed for what they still lack.
Yeah, no question. I think Green Bay, for the most part, with Dom Capers running it, Dom Capers is one of the guys who helped bring in the zone blitzes with Dick LeBeau. This guy, I mean, Dom is always going to have those guys prepared. So it's going to be a great game to actually watch and to see how Dak does with the different fronts and different looks he's going to get from the zone blitz.
Chester was in here, and you talk about things, and you both talked about things that you didn't practice for, you didn't see all week. That's what happened again last night.
Yeah.
Because last night, when you start moving Clay around, but then you start moving other guys around, and you start showing fronts that there was no way in hell that they were prepared for, and they thought they'd see in Eli Manning. You saw a really good quality quarterback like Eli Manning look like a very, very inexperienced quarterback.
No question. And speaking of Clay, you know what? That's a good idea. I'm thinking about for Friday. See if we get a special guest on Friday in honor of your Green Bay guys going up against a state product this week.
Let me see. It depends on who the guest is before I get excited or look forward to it. But I know that you can pull when you need to. So if you pull good guests, we're never mad at you. Yeah. Let's go back to the phones and get some of these out of the way because you guys have been holding. We appreciate it. Nolan, Houston, Big 12 teams, playoff chances, go.
Paul. Mm-hmm.
Nolan, you're on. Go ahead, buddy.
Quick question. Yeah, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Sure.
Just wanted to have a quick question. With the University of Houston unfortunately losing this week, do you think the Big 12 has any chance of making the college football playoffs this year? Thanks. I'll hang up and listen. Appreciate it, guys.
Well, Nolan, I don't know if anybody's told you, but University of Houston isn't in the Big 12.
Yet.
But I see where you're going with this one.
Mm-hmm.
What did they drop, to 15?
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of the Big 12, if you take U of H out of it, assuming that he meant, is there any, because for the local ties, Baylor's still playing well, but they still got a majority of the schedule in conference to play.
And that's a nightmare situation. The college football playoff team does not want Baylor.
No.
With all the controversy and all the stuff that comes with them, they do not want them to even be, even if they go undefeated, I still don't think they let them in the playoffs.
I mean, Nick, who possibly from the Big 12, I mean, Oklahoma State? No. TCU?
No. No.
I mean, I think in the national championship race, it's going to happen outside of the Big 12. Okay? We got that covered. If you have any more you want to talk about, please feel free to chime in. But we got calls to get to, so we're going to try and get to them. Brett, Spring, Texas, you are in. You want to talk about your Aggies? Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, Brett, you're on. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just... Now, if we happen to beat Alabama, do you think there's anybody else that can beat A&M?
I mean, look, they look better, and they look like they're getting better every week. But at the same time, it's the same A&M team that almost lost to UCLA.
Yes.
It's an A&M team that yesterday that looked phenomenal in the first half, only to crap the bed in the second half and have to go to double overtime to hang on and win. So as much as you want to think that they're on their way, every time you see that carrot at the end of that string and you start chasing it thinking you're going to get there, it gets pulled away. So at the end of the day, it's not just about winning one game one week against Alabama. It's not slipping up against the team because you think you should beat them. Therefore, you're not ready to play come Saturday. So that would be my two cents.
It's winning the games that you're supposed to win and staying in the game long enough to win the games that you're not supposed to win.
Or that you are not favored in.
Exactly.
So how's that, Brett? All right. Thanks for the call. Don't be a stranger. Brett. Please feel free to call back again. Scott Deer Park, you want to talk about the Cougs? Welcome to the show.
What's up, gentlemen? Afternoon.
What's up?
I've never been called a gentleman, but I thank you. I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, the question I got is mainly for Trav. How poorly did U of H play that triple option? Well, you've seen the defensive end kept crashing down. Nobody covered the pitch guy, and they just ran it down to the throat. What did they do wrong?
I mean, it's a systematic thing. I mean, when you talk about, Scott, and we appreciate you calling, but it's something that we discussed last week between me, Keenan, and Joel, when we said these guys have been running the triple option for 20 years.
Yep.
So if you don't lean on your rules, if you don't lean on the things you're supposed to do, if you have the pitch man, take the pitch man. Don't look at the exchange point. Don't look at the mesh. We call it the mesh point. Don't look at the mesh point because the mesh point is always
going to the mesh point.
When we say the mesh point, we talk about when both the running back and the quarterback mesh together and he rides him.
Right.
That's what we call the mesh point. So we don't, if your rule says you have the dive, take the dive. If your rule says you have the quarterback, take the quarterback. If your rule says you have the pitch man, take it. Don't let, because the eyes are the window to the souls, but the eyes will always get you screwed up if you do not follow your rules. They will always tell you something and they will deceive you. It's like an ugly woman with dim lights in a club. She looks fine, but when you turn the lights on, you're sitting there like, whoa, this is not the same woman I hollered at. It's the same exact thing. If you have the running back, Don't look at this other lady in the corner with as the quarterback. Don't look at that person. Look at who you're supposed to do and just take care of your assignments. And that's what they didn't do. You saw him crashing down on the dive, and maybe he had the quarterback. He's supposed to slow play it, in-flight adjust, we call it. Were you more shuffle, slide to give yourself an opportunity to play do your job and come back out of there?
A 5 can become a 10 depending on the ifs, the buts, and the when.
Yes, exactly.
There you go. So, and again, there was a Travis question, but just to show you that I'm very well-versed, what we did talk about when the three of us were in the studio was the fact that this is something that you do not prepare for any single week of the season, except for the 1 week that you are playing Navy. Nick and I were in the gym the other day with a guy that's a staunch U of H supporter, a guy whose dad was a football coach, who said that, I think that, Tom Herman and his coaching staff worked on at least 15 minutes a week of practice time preparing for Navy. Travis, that's absolutely not
that's
true because you only get so much amount of time per week with the kids in uniform on the field practicing. They could not do those kind of things. So in essence, what I was saying is this is a look that you're only going to see once a year that you don't prepare for, and you will never play that kind of defense again or be forced to stick to the vest as closely as you've ever been in terms of staying home. Don't overcommit. Make sure you stay in your lanes. Make sure you take your areas. And if you overcommit at any one time, it can kill you.
It can bite
you
in the
butt. And then when a turnover comes up when you don't need it, it can put you in a situation where you can't escape and you can't come back.
Exactly.
That's what happened to U of H. So there you go. Travis and Joel till 4. Nick's behind the glass. Anything you want to talk about, bring it to us. Great round of calls right there. We will take more calls if you'd like. We're looking at Twitter. We're looking at text messages. And we'll wrap up with thoughts that we have as well. ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
All right. We've had a good show today. We've had a lot of fun doing it. And in the process, we've had you along for the ride. Some of you have even joined in on Travis's Twitter Live and Facebook Live feed so that you could put faces with names. Unfortunately, we are who we are and we look like that. But that's why we have faces for radio. And we enjoy doing what we do. And because of you, we have good shows and great content like we've had again today. We don't call others out except for to say that we're going to be different than anybody else because we're going to keep it real. We're going to keep it honest. We're going to break it down. Sometimes you're going to like it. Sometimes you don't. But at the end of the day, it's just sports. It's not it's entertainment. It's not life. We know there's bigger fish to fry and a lot more problems in the real world. We're just here to bring you some levity as we talk about what we all like to talk about, and that's our love for the beauty of sports. And so with one segment to go, we've covered a lot of ground. There's one topic that we want to throw out there that unfortunately we're doing at the end of the show, but we will carry it through to the next time that we all are together in the same room. And that is because of all the controversy that we're talking about with Osweiler, because of where the Texans are playing or aren't playing to the level in which you expected them to. And then for all the Dallas Cowboy fans in the state of Texas that have chimed in previously with Dak Prescott, and then Dak Prescott as it relates to when Tony Romo comes back. I ask you this. You can also identify whether you're a fan of the Texans or the Cowboys, but it doesn't matter. Would you rather be in the situation that the Cowboys are in, or would you rather be in the situation that the Texans are in? Because the Texans seem to think they got their quarterback of the future, and yet he's not performing like a franchise quarterback. In the Cowboys situation, you had a quarterback that you thought was your quarterback of the future and the now. He's been hurt several times. There's people, the luster has worn off and the shine has worn off the diamond. But yet there are some of you that are loyal and some of you that are not. In the meantime, a young kid has come in as the new sheriff in town, and he has carried your team to an outstanding record. He has proven that he is mature beyond his years, and he's become a leader in a short period of time in doing things to make sure that your team stays on track while your quote-unquote franchise quarterback's out. Now your franchise quarterback sees a light at the end of the tunnel in which he will be allowed to play again. They're targeting Week 8. We don't know if that's true or not. But if he does come back within that time frame, who do you want to be your starting quarterback? And for you, I ask you not only to answer that question, but more importantly, would you rather be in the Texans situation or the Cowboys? Both teams are in first place. Both teams look like they're going to make the playoffs. But who would you rather be and why?
Of course, you'd rather be Dallas, and I would love for fans to call in.
I don't know if you say of course though.
Yeah, I would.
Some
rather
people's hatred for the Cowboys alone. But
I would rather have their problems
to have
of
choices.
having Hey, the only thing, you know how everybody say more money, more problems? Well, I always enjoy those problems.
I had the soundtrack.
Yeah.
That was Mace. Was it Damon Wayans?
No, Mace, More Money, More Problems.
I'm talking about who starred the movie.
Oh, money, Damon Wayans. Yeah. More money.
I'm
yeah.
all with you. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, the problem that they're going to have is if they're going to screw with chemistry when it's all said and done, and they're going to get Tony Romo back his job. You know, the funny thing, my wife thought I was talking about ribs earlier when we talked about Tony Romo. But that's another topic. But
those are popular on the West Coast. Yeah, I know what your wife was talking about.
Yeah.
It's a place for ribs.
But you know what? I'd rather have that problem than have the problem of what we have right now of having $72 million not play up to what...
I hope they do well.
And when I say we, I mean the Texans. The problem the Texans Raiders, have right now Chargers, of saying... Yeah.
Or Florida State. Never mind. Three wees became the four wees. Okay, go ahead.
But you would rather have a quarterback. And you got to think about it. Now they have... At the end of the day, they drafted Dak Prescott in the fourth round. They basically he's playing for free. He'll start for the next 3-4 years for free.
Interesting you said that, because that's where I was going to go with that, and I was going to ask you this. Would it be different if he wasn't playing for free? Would it be different if he had a Brock Osweiler-type contract, either on the horizon, or he had it, and you were paying both guys, and you had to make the decision? It would make it a lot tougher, because for as much as Dak Prescott has done to date, he hasn't seen a lot of what we were talking about with a Capers-like defense. When you're going to get all those looks you weren't expecting to see. When you're getting all the pressure from different areas. And when you're going to have to really be composed in the pocket and know that you have to stay there and make decisions. Decisions Romo's already been through the grinder on. That's all I'll throw that to you.
I mean, but the problem is this kid can do things that Romo cannot no longer do. This kid, when he gets out of the pocket, you still say he has a chance to be electric. When Romo, when he was younger, yeah, he could escape and make some things happen. But now you're concerned for his safety. You sit there like, dude, if he gets hit again, he can't send another backyard. I mean, he done had two of them in the last year.
Is this another medical term you created?
No, it's another locker room talk. You know, we call it backyotomy. Oh, yeah, backyotomy. When your back is all the way gone.
Not to be confused with the frontal lobotomy. Yeah, you're talking about the backyotomy.
It's a backyotomy. Yeah, exactly. Locker room speak. Without catching a
real
sexual
locker
assault.
Room speech.
Yeah, without catching a sexual assault charge.
Not in a country club.
Yeah, exactly. But
with your nuts on a leather recliner,
booty stewing. That's what we call booty stewing. But what would you rather have? Would you rather have the problem that the Texans have, or would you rather have the Dallas problem?
I don't think there's any question. I'd rather have the Dallas problem simply because at the end of the day, I know that I can. I have escape. I have an ace in the hole. I have a guy. That whether you want him there because you can blame him easily too, or you want him there for any other reason, he's a veteran, he's been there before, and you know that even though he hasn't won the big one, he's won enough that you know that you feel comfortable if he's behind center as long, and then you just have to hope he stays healthy. But you look at it and you got the best of both worlds. Because you look at the situation like Green Bay had when they had Favre and then they had Rodgers behind him. You had a situation where you had the present, you were grooming the future. Unfortunately, they were forced to make a decision because it came to that. Now, Dallas, one way or another, is going to end up having to make a decision, but the beauty is right now they don't have to. So you have two guys that have, at least in the short sample window that you've seen with Dak Prescott, I wouldn't give him $17 million tomorrow, but you have a sample size that's enough to say that either guy can lead your team. Yeah. I'm not so sure on Kirby that they have one guy that can lead their team.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and I still think you got to give Savage, if this continues, and I hate to be, you know, that guy on Twitter, I hate to be a Richard, but you got to give Savage a look.
That's not being a Richard. Yeah. I mean, but we knew it was going to come. We knew with a performance like this and the performances that Osweiler has given you, and you knew that from the armchair quarterbacks to others – that the names that were going to pop up, and I mentioned it at the start of the show, you knew that there was going to be talk today of Tom Savage.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it doesn't go further than that because Whedon's not even suiting up.
No.
And he's shown what he's just a backup. He's lucky to have a job, but he's there.
But he'll have a job for the next 12 years in
his
league.
He'll be a better golfer because of it. But at the end of the day, too, when you look at that, the other name, because of the fact that he almost threw for 400 yards, Hoyer's name was going to resurface.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Because at the end of the day, the one thing that you can say at the end of the day, because I say at the end of the day, because you guys said that we say it a lot, and guess what? We mean it. The bottom line is Hoyer was only $5 million a year, and he's doing exactly what Brock Osweiler's doing now.
Yeah.
So you're not on the hook for 17 bills this year.
No.
You're not on the hook for 72 overall.
Yeah.
And you could make another change at the end of the year.
And you still,
but you knew that you needed a franchise quarterback, but you also had to know, and if you didn't, shame on you, and this is where I go with the blame game again, to bring it all first full circle. Someone should be the blame because they knew that when you made that decision and you put the money behind it to commit to that decision, you better damn well have had a guy that you're committing to that is worthy of saying that was the right decision. Right now, you can't say that.
And you mentioned them. You once again. Well, you mentioned the money after I mentioned the money. So we mentioned the money.
Yes.
When you think about it like that, if Brian Hoyer would have still been here, mm-hmm. would that have bought? I mean, if the seat is on fire for Bill O'Brien, would that have bought him another year? Saying there is no franchise quarterback out there for me to get. So this should also buy me another year to find one in the draft. Or find one in free agency later because there was nobody available.
Wrap this up, and it sucks. Because
y'all should, call the show afterwards to ask them the
question. But here's the thing. It's the same question that we got back to with why they didn't draft Derek Carr. You didn't draft Derek Carr because you didn't want another David Carr, and you were afraid of the backlash. You didn't bring Brian Hoyer back because after the game he put up against Kansas City, no matter what he did in the regular season, you felt like no one could swallow it if you put him there for another year. But instead, you pulled the trigger too quickly on a guy that might not be the guy, and you're $17 million poor, plus a big-time contract. That's a tough situation to be in.
Yeah, very tough situation.
And that's
very
why
tough situation.
I have pointed fingers. So hey, there you go.
Go Noles!
That's Tyonsay Knowles. I'm Joel Blank. We've been here on Monday. We'll be here Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. We are here for you, and we look forward to talking to you throughout the week. ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.